back. WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the Thanksgiving holiday. I had some pumpkin ice cream, my wise scooper here, so I want to give some Thanksgiving love. And I've been thinking about, I'm doing the Black Friday special. We're doing a crab cake tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. We'll let ourselves play this week in Abingdon at Conrad's with Harford County Executive Barry Glassman. Then we'll be joined, I believe, by Mike Bordick on the 3rd at Pappas up in Cockeysville for the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. But I'm in this music vibe right now. I'm in a little bit of a show lull. I don't have any tickets for anything other than Pearl Jam, and Lord knows whenever they're going to come together. And I brought some music people on during Thanksgiving, and there's just a bunch of backloaded people that I've been trying to get on the show. Sam Sessa has come to me on pirate ships in the ocean. We've meandered around town on Facebook and talking music. And then I did the Crab Cake Tour and realized, he's like John Cougar Mellencamp from a small town here in Maryland, and we're going to talk about the small town this. But you put a Facebook status up about a week and a half ago. So happy to join the YPR family. Can't wait to see the next phase in WTMD's continuing evolution. I thought, radio news? I was the king of sports radio here at one point, so let's do some radio news. Sam, how the heck are you, man? How's life?
I'm good, Nestor. How are you?
Man, you sound better than me. You got like a big boy microphone there. I like that, man. Tap on that.
You got me during business hours, yeah.
Well, now you go. You know, TMD and YPR, I feel like at the holiday season, I feel like I should put my hat on and we should do sweaty balls and do a segment like that because I would sound better through that microphone if I did. Tell me about the merger. Tell me what's going on. Like, I haven't done a lot of reading. And Mueller will famously tell you that I hate green rooming, so I didn't do a lot of research, but run me through this a little bit. I know you as the other music critic from the Baltimore Sun many years ago, and you've been doing this a long time now. And I think for anybody in the radio space here locally, whether it's music, whether it's conversation, trying to make the world a better place, that's what I'm trying to do with Baltimore Positive in my own little way. It is a small town, isn't it?
Absolutely. I'll give you the 30-second version of this. So, you know, Towson University owned our license for as long as we've been in existence, almost 20 years. As WTMD, and they decided they wanted to sell us, and WYPR stepped up. And listen, you know, when somebody wants to sell a radio station, more often than not, the whole staff gets liquidated and they change formats and the new staff comes in and it becomes something else. And YPR stepped up and was like, no, this is really special. This is a really crucial part of our community here in Baltimore, and we want to keep it as it is. And so they bought WTMD from Towson University. We're all technically part of WYPR's. There's a new company that they established called Your Public, or are in the process of establishing. And it's basically the same great programming that people have come to know and love, just with the new owners. And I got to say, Nestor, they are really, really great, forward-thinking, have great plans for us and for YPR.
Well, I mean, I want you to be successful because it's a resource that many, you know, it's like a Venn diagram, right? Like, I want 100.7 to stay in business because I want Colleen and Mike Brillhart and, you know, Joe Heffron, my friends over there, to thrive. So when I get in the car, I can listen to Black Sabbath, you know what I mean, on a long drive. And I am not so jaded that I do podcast all day, and I own a radio station. I own an FCC license that I've had for 23 years. I'm about to celebrate 30 years. But I used to try to put all y'all out of business, you know what I mean, like 30 years ago when I was young and angry. Now it is – it's important to me that especially through the plague, that all small businesses, and I kid you about seeing you on the pirate ship, but that pirate ship needs to be sailing and have people out and people coming into the city. And I think for businesses, especially in the information place, I mean, you're an old reporter, I'm an old reporter. We've taken our reporter thing into a different place in a different way, and passions and sports and music that we share. But these businesses, it can't be Walmart Radio. It can't be Odyssey Radio and Clear Channel Radio. There's a local element to what TMD, YPR, NST, before that, HFS, right? I mean, and when things die, we can't let 98 Rock die, you know? I mean, you don't want to let local things die.
Sure. I mean, although I got to say, it's so sad, almost a little depressing for me to flip on the Bay and hear Pearl Jam and, you know, grunge bands on a classic rock station. Makes me feel so old.
Dude, and we're all in it together now. Like all these jails. I was in the car with my buddy Stan Jablonski out in Chicago, my Dundalk friend, and he's got serious. And when I get serious, I'm not going to give him $10 a month. I don't know why, but like I'll play around and you know, listen to stuff and whatever. And there's lithium channels and there's slices of back tracks and, you know, classic rock deep tracks and deep cuts that I haven't heard since I had vinyl. And I mean, there's so many formats and interests, but I think locally there's still a place for R&Rs and TMDs and NSTs that need to have creative people and creative ownership. And then there needs to be a community locally that embraces it and waters it. And I think, you know, you've been a part of now two organizations that have merged where it probably was a little Venn going on there, right? Probably a lot of people getting a little bit of both, right?
Absolutely. I think in the public, you know, in the public radio world, people that listen to public radio, their two presets in, you know, whatever order were WTMD and WYPR or WYPR and WTMD in their car. Because, you know, like public radio folks, you know, we're a public radio music station, YPR is public radio news station. You know, it's a lot of the same audience. And I got to say, you know, to your point about, you know, NSTs, YPRs, TMDs, it is really heartwarming, I guess, for us to see that in a world where you can literally get anything whenever you want it, that people still value Baltimore content, Baltimore music, Baltimore radio, because it comes from our community and it reps our community. And you really, you know, you can't get that. As much as you'd like to think you can get it on the internet, like you kind of can, but not in the same way.
He's Sam Sessa. He has been doing things around here a long time. I know him as the music critic at The Sun. I had Dave Geller on this week talking old Meriwether stuff. And my wife and I are moving. We sold our condo. And like one of the things we're going to miss so much if we leave downtown, we're deciding Columbia, Towson, White Marsh, Dundalk, you know, Catonsville, Annapolis. We can move anywhere we want, right? So we're looking and sniffing and stuff. And if I leave downtown and if I leave this side of the harbor, I'm leaving walking to Oriole games, walking to Ravens games. I live in Federal Hill, downtown Inner Harbor area. This is literally where I live. And so we're trying to figure it out. The thing we've loved more than anything is going to Pier 6. And when shows are at the Royal Farms Arena, and I've missed a few. You know, I missed the Famous Stone show. I was in Detroit that week covering the Super Bowl. I was doing Radio Row. So I didn't see the Stones here. I saw the Stones 6 weeks ago in St. Louis. No crying for me. But the shows that come through the downtown area living down here, Soundstage, I saw Marcus King a couple weeks ago. Nice. My friends in – I didn't go to the Auto Bar the other night, but I had friends playing the Auto Bar the other night. I would just say this, for music is such a part of my life now. Maybe it is superseded sports in that way that I'll go to a lot more concerts than I will baseball games. The rest, I'm just where I am, that I'm even considering where I live. Can I be near Meriwether? Can I be near Pier 6? Can I walk here? Can I go there? And having music taken away and having sports taken away, there is something about that. And I think loving music and having it be something we do for a living makes it even more fun.
Absolutely. I mean, look, like me personally, I haven't seen an indoor concert since the pandemic started, and I will be in the next 3 weeks because my kids are both going to be fully vaxxed by then because they're in that 5 to 7 year old window. Okay. And I'm going to go to everything, Nestor. Like I cannot wait to get back out and, you know, see shows again. Like, you know, I went to some outdoor shows in the summer, you know, felt lucky to be able to do that.
What'd you do? Give me Sess's picks. Cause like back in the day I did everything. Cause I was a music critic. So did you. Now, like getting me out to a gig, I got to like, my back hurt like hell. Smithereens are like blood brothers to me. Right. They played two shows down at Ramset. They were playing with Robin Wilson from the gym. I had back view, like a mess. I had needles in my spine. I couldn't go. I'm heartbroken. I'm trying to figure out ways that like to go to shows and stuff. I saw the Stones. I saw the Eagles twice. What did you see?
Well, hold on. To your point about being uncomfortable and, you know, getting older, I got to say, I remember being a young guy and going to see like, you know, one of those big indoor arena shows, you know, like a Billy Joel or a Lady Gaga in DC. And I remember like getting chastised by the folks around me who were like, sit down, you know, come on, let's enjoy the show. We're all sitting here. And I was like, what are you talking about? You know, come on, let's get up and stand. We're at a concert.
You've been to an Eagles concert. The Eagles, it's the worst crowd ever at an Eagles concert, but the music's so beautiful.
It really is. It's like you're listening to the seat, to the record, like it's like pitch perfect, everything, but people don't want to stand up. And now I kind of get it, you know, like being middle-aged and going to Merriweather, I'm like, no way I'm on the lawn. I'm in the pavilion. And I hope the people around me are not standing, at least not for half the show.
Have you been judged at a show?
Oh yeah, totally.
I would judge your ass, man. If you're in the pit at a Springsteen show and you're talking during, you know, drive all night or something, like, man's playing a ballad. Shut that up. You know what I mean? Like, there is an etiquette issue. So, Sam, this takes me down a great road because I did the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, now presented by the Maryland Lottery. We're going to be out on the road. I'm celebrating 30 years, but I got to driving around the state and having crab cakes and driving through towns with one mailbox and one, you know, Trump flag or Confederate flag on the lawn. I drove on every back road in this state that I could. My wife and I'd be like, because I was navigating and she did some of the driving at various points, and I would just take turns to see what the trees look like on, hey, this road looks like it might have a creek and a one lane bridge. Let's go that way. I had no idea you're from a small town, and I saw this pop up, and I think it was the original reason I was going to call you, is to say small town guy comes to big city, falls in love with music and journalism. I mean, you have a different story being from around here, but not from like Dundalk.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I'm from Galena, Maryland, like 400 people. The nearest grocery store was 15 miles away, which, you know, that's like what? Like downtown Baltimore to White Marsh? I mean, it's, you know, pretty far distance. And we were always driving. Esther, like you're talking about driving all these back roads. I feel like I spent my entire childhood in the backseat of a car going somewhere because it just took so long to get anywhere. But I have been following with your crab tour, especially on the Eastern Shore, because those are my people, you know. And dude, I went to high school. There was one high school in the whole county and it had 600 kids in it.
I would say this. This was the shocking part for me. I mapped this thing out, and I've been mapped. I love maps. Like I was a kid that had the Rand McNally map when I was 8 years old, trying to figure out where the stadium was in Cleveland, where Tiger Stadium sat in Detroit when Brooks would come on and broadcast the game. So I love maps. So, and my wife would tell you that. Like all of our tours of Australia and all over Europe and different places, I love maps. And Google Maps is like a total wet dream for me because like you zoom in, you move in, you figure out where things are, where you're going to park, you know, and I'm a preparer, you know, prepare to be successful, right? But I went over the Eastern Shore and these places and scenes, I still have never been to Rock Hall. I have been to Galena because I have a friend that lives in Millington, you know, a friend who bought a home in Millington on a little creek and it has a little canoe, and I've been to his home in Millington. He calls it the little house. And, you know, so I have been in areas over there, and there's actually like a little diner that has a crab cake in one of the little towns over there. But I went to Chestertown, and Heather Mazier met me on the dock there on the water and the beautiful bridge. Like, why would I go to Chestertown? Like, why, you just don't drive. My whole life, I'm 53 years old, and I've never been to Deep Creek Lake. I had never been to Antietam. Even though I have been to your hometown, I've never been to Rock Hall. So this summer, I'm going to go back and do things and go to different places and do all that. But I find it to be fascinating that when someone like you grows up in this little town and wants to come to a big city, how much different that is from a guy like me who had access to go to Oriole games in 10 minutes and go downtown and see Black Sabbath with and without Ozzy Osbourne and Ronnie James Dio in the 80s. So, you know, it's a little bit of that where, like, how would you have gotten to the Capitol Center to see Priest back in the day, right?
Dude, you know, I got over here. My parents maybe took me to Baltimore once or twice as a kid, and it would be like, we're going to go to the Inner Harbor, and then we're going to go home. You know, like, there was no – it was like the big, scary city, you know, coming from the country vibe, right?
Did you go to Philly or no? Philly's closer, right?
Yes. Yeah, it was. I was an Eagles fan growing up because, you know, there was no Baltimore team. My dad was a Colts fan and they left. And so he was like, we're going to be an Eagles team. Cause they're about an hour away from where I am, hour and a half. So is Baltimore. But one time our high school field trip took us to the aquarium, and they dropped us off outside of the aquarium instead of like making sure we went in. And so we were like, okay.
And went to the Hard Rock, didn't you?
Yeah, we went to Hard Rock.
I knew it. went
to Hooters, I think, eventually, and, you know, some other places. And
you don't get Hooters in Galena, man. You don't.
Dude, we didn't have pizza growing up. Like, there was no pizza delivery. There were no pizza restaurants. It was like you had to drive 20 minutes, like almost 20 miles to go to a pizza restaurant. Like, so coming here, it's just, this is like, I'm trying to think the best way to put it. Like, it was just like, I felt like a kid in a candy shop because there's just everything. Like, there's
endless possibility. Holden Caulfield in The Catcher in the Rye when you land in New York, right?
Yeah. And like, you know, city snobs will be like, well, you know, Mount Vernon's got everything closes down after midnight and blah, blah, blah. I don't care. Like, I can walk to restaurants. I can walk to clubs. It was just amazing to me moving to this city. I just ate it up. You know, I've lived here my whole life and I'm still not tired of it. I love it.
And it's a different thing though, right? And a lot of people, when you go home, I'm learning a lot, right? Like, grow up in Dundalk and I went back and dedicated my elementary school. So I've had time to think about this, and now driving around and I think to myself, and this is where the politics come in. Why do these people believe what they believe, and what's the background and what's the life experience? And I don't want to be disrespectful to anyone that lives in a small town, but a lot of experience comes off what they see on television. Like, and now the internet, right? Like, your parents, it was television. Now it's the internet, that the experiential part of other things makes you conservative, makes you not politically, just afraid of things from what you see on the TV. And maybe experientially, it's a lot of work to get in the car and drive to the big city. And if my wife and I move to Columbia, I don't know how much we'll drive downtown and park the car and look for a place. Like, literally, and that's just Columbia. That's not Galena. That's not Westminster. That's not Upper Harford County, where coming in for a ball game, coming in for a meal, coming in for a concert, all of that, we're trying to pick the city up, right? And I think the perception of it from the outside is it's a million miles away. And I don't know how to break through that, and how a young buck like you wound up being so, you know, enamored with the bright lights. And I had never seen you in that light other than you put pictures up on the Eastern Shore. And now that I've been to these places, I'm like, this is where the different divide comes in, right? How we all try to get together and say, you take some of that home for Thanksgiving and say, hey, the city's not so bad. I love it here. Look at me, right?
Sure. Look, I come from a family of spinach farmers. I did spinach farming growing up. And worked on the river at marinas and things. And it's a totally different kind of people with a totally different mindset. But, you know, I get them. And I will say one thing that I think has been it's really sad for rural communities is the death of local newspapers. Because that really just was a huge source of really important local information that helped a lot of people and broadened a lot of opinions. And to see those go away has been a big hit, given that it's being replaced by just these different silos on social media and silos on national TV, because it's just people yelling things. And I wish that we had more of that conversation that we had when you and I were growing up, and there was a lot more kind of trustworthy local sources and news.
Well, also people that are trained, who, what, where, why, when, why, how, explain it better to me, teach me, you know, you know, that part of me being in the Sun newsroom with David Simon and Rafael Alvarez and Dick Irwin and just these incredible, you know, Dave Etlin still pops up on my Facebook, and love to him and his family, and, you know, editors and people that fact checked. Imagine that, fact checking. And is it true? It has by Nestor, by Sam at the top of it. It has to be true. My parents would disown me. I mean, and I'm not even Asian. You know what I mean? Like, that's part of a whole like thing of like your family's name is on the line. If you're writing this, is it true? Your job's on the line. Your future's on the line. Is it true? Man, I'm just I've gone Orwell, dude. You know what I mean? On some of this stuff. And especially when I go to places where, to your point, the information highway and pipeline and the experience, real experience of traveling, not having a passport, not meeting people of other faiths, cultures, persuasions, colors, religion, whatever it would be, that it the more I travel, the more I understand better. You know, there's an understanding for me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's one of the best things we can do, Nestor, you know, especially today, is get out and meet people, talk to different people, see where they're coming from, just like we've been doing here.
Sam Sasson joining us here. Do I say from WTMD? What do I say?
Absolutely. We are still very much WTMD, but you can also say WYPR. Both work.
All right. Well, it's always great to have you on, but a couple things. Music. What have you been seeing? What have you been listening to? I'll give you one. Duran Jones and the Indications. I've been down with that. I've been down with sweet R&B and soul music lately. That's, you know, filled me up a little bit more than some of the more... I love classic. I listen to classic rock. I mean, everybody knows that. But when it comes to, like, listening to new music, I'm always listening. So you... This is what you do. Come on, man. Give me a couple bands, bro. Come on.
Snail Mail. 5 out of 5, Nestor. Get into Snail Mail. You'll like them. They're young. They didn't live through the 90s, and we did, but they're channeling it in a way that I think you'd like. Snail Mail. Check them out.
Don't give me that. What's the ones that jump up and down and scream like Led Zeppelin, but not them? What's that?
Oh,
band?
God. No. Not them. I know who you're talking about. I can't remember the name of them. But
Yeah.
We don't speak their names.
Yeah, I'm not into that. All right, dude. Well, next summer, let's get a Meriwether show in or something, you know?
I'd love that.
I'll go see something you like. Who are your 5 favorite bands? Give me Sessapalooza. What would Sessapalooza be and where would the venue be for you? Where would you hold Sessapalooza?
Dude, I want a repeat of, they did this Windjammer Festival at Pier 6, and I got to run here in just a sec, but it was Beach House, Future Islands, Dan Deacon, Ed Schrader's Music Beat. And I would add like a Snail Mail or a couple other like younger Baltimore bands to that mix. Like those are, for me, that's like some of my all-time faves because I'm a Baltimore music guy. So all those bands all the way.
All right. I'm downloading as we speak, bro. I'm taking notes here. Sam Sessa, WTMD, my friend. Sometimes I see him on a pirate ship. Sometimes I see him at a concert. And it's always good to see you, man. Thanks for coming on and talking about the world and your hometown.
Likewise, Nestor. Thanks for having me.
That's a Springsteen song, my hometown. There you go. I dropped that on Dundalk as well. Sam Sessa, WTMD, joining us here. Follow him out on social media. Kids stuff, music stuff, local stuff, festival stuff, canting in the park and drinking beer. It's a good time. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.